Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and Deb Evans Consulting.com.
Well, hello there. It's Deb Evans coming from Texas tonight, a very, very, very dry Texas, though I think the rest of the world is having lots and lots of rain. And AK Stout is once again missing in action, but I know where she is. She's visiting with family. She's got some family in town, so she's taking the night off. But I'm super excited to be supercharged by Dave Delaney, who I said earlier today on one of my platforms, he's been my social media mentor, someone I've followed because he's just recognized in the whole digital space with his, and we've had him on the show twice before talking about his unconferences, PodCamp Nashville and the BarCamp Nashville. But tonight we get to hear about his new business networking book. Hey, Dave, I'm so excited to have you on again.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Deb.
Yeah. You know, I think anybody and everybody I know has written a book, except for me. So, and I'm always, I kind of sort of did. It was self-published, so it really, it was just for the franchising industry. But the experiences that I've heard from our guests of who have written, they're all very different. So tell us your story and how you went from Griffin Technology to your own consulting to writing a book, and what do you think about all of this?
It's been fun. And first of all, you wrote a book. Just because you self-published doesn't mean you didn't write
yeah.
a book.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was nice.
yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's such a you know, it is interesting now because so many people are writing and self-publishing, which is exciting. My book is called New Business Networking, and it was published by Q Publishing, which is a subsidiary of Pearson Publishing. And for me, the experience was amazing. I will not lie and say it was easy, because it was not. There was certainly a lot of stress in there and a lot of, it was a stressful experience, but at the same time also very, very rewarding personally and, hopefully in the long run also for my career.
Well, so social media trends and the platforms and everything changes so dramatically, like almost daily. Writing, mm-hmm. sitting down and deciding to write, now you talk about online and offline. So the online portion of your book, was there any concern that you'd be putting elements in the book that all of a sudden would be outdated by the time you published?
Absolutely. It's happened already. I mean, there's, mm-hmm. Things have already changed a little bit since I wrote the book, since the book came out. So, that is part of the challenge with writing a sort of tech-specific book. And that's why I geared the book more towards a mixture of online and offline, networking. My subtitle is How to Effectively Grow Your Business Network Using Online and Offline Methods. So it's really a mixture of both. So there's traditional tried and true methodologies in there about professional networking and, growing your business network. And then, so those sections will hold true, hopefully for a long time.
Right.
And I think fundamentally, the way we network on and grow our networks on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or Google Plus now and through other social networks, it's still relevant, and it's just because they move a button around and some of the functionality may change, when it comes right down to it, social networking is all about, you know, the same thing as networking. It's meeting people online. You know, networking is mainly meeting people offline, but it's meeting people who are like-minded, who you have similar interests with, who you can help, you know, professionally and vice versa, hopefully, along, you know, someday down the road.
Right, right. So how long did you spend actually writing? Because I know you were quite busy once you left Griffin and you started your business. You know, how did you fit writing in, and then how long did it take you to do that?
Yeah, so a little tip for people who are going out on their own and starting their own businesses, maybe don't write a book. That's part of the stress and the challenge from it. But it took me roughly about a little over five months to write the book, which was crazy.
Wow.
Considering, yeah, I had gone out on my own, yeah. And, you know, I have clients to tend to and obviously trying to drive new business as well. So, you know, my clients, you know, we're all excited, you know, the ones actually, yeah, I think all of them knew about me writing the book too. So they were quite excited about it too. So it was a stressful process for sure, but my publisher, you know, gave me a rather short timeline to turn it around. You know, Pearson's great. They're an awesome publisher, but, you know, and it wasn't to their fault. They just gave me this timeline, and as a first-time author, I was like, okay. I can do that. You know, but that's the thing, right? Sink or swim. You just got to do it. So.
Right, right. And I know you must have a very supportive family, and you were connected on Facebook. So I've not met them in person. I feel like I know them, and I've watched your vacations, and I see the pictures and wonderful kids and wife. So you have to have a supportive family to be able to sit down and buckle down and do that.
Yeah, that was the one question I kept getting was, like, you know, what is the sort of the outcome of the book and how have things been going? And I always say that my wife is still with me.
Yes, that's true.
You know, Heather did not leave. Heather did not leave, thankfully, so, and did not kill me during the process either.
Well, and it's not only the book that you do, because you're on the social platform. So I follow a lot what you do, and I try to learn from what you're doing. So, you know, you're busy with Vine. You know, I love your Vine videos. Then now you're busy with Instagram. It's like, oh, look what they, I forgot what it was that you did one day. And I just copied it. It's like, oh, I like that technique. I think I'll do that.
Yeah, so, absolutely. It's a balancing act. I mean, certainly. And I'm, you know, social geek radio. I am a geek. I love technology. I love social networks, and I love the tools and the fun stuff that we can do with this. So, and you know, I've always been that way. And so, you know, it often kind of comes easily to me. And I have a background. I studied improv comedy at Second City in Toronto many years ago, and I used to perform improv. And part of performing on stage, especially in an improv kind of setting, is you grow accustomed and you kind of accept the fact that you're going to look like a jackass sometimes. Not in a bad way, but people are going to be like, what the heck is he doing? But they're not going to be like, wow, what a jerk or anything like that. So at least I hope not. So, yeah, so I like experimenting with different social networks and platforms and things and playing. And so, yeah, I've had fun with Vine so far, and I absolutely love Instagram. And yeah, so it's been fun to just kind of mess around and, you know, see what I can come up with.
Cool. Very good. Well, let's dig in a little bit to your book. And one of the questions that, and I crowdsourced a couple of my questions here. Someone had asked, they said, you know, one of your chapters says, you know, grow your network before you need it. And you talk about LinkedIn. So give us some of those tips that you have provided here in the book. You know, how do you go about growing that network and expanding before you actually need it?
Well, you know, before I got on the call tonight, actually, I just came from a networking event here in Nashville, where I'm based, with the Nashville chapter of the American Marketing Association. And, you know, I met a bunch of great people. I met some interesting people. I mean, I think, you know, it's important to try not to just always talk to the people that you know. I mean, certainly talk to the people that you know. Don't snub anyone or anything. But to make an effort to kind of talk and meet new people as well. And so I met a bunch of great new people tonight that I hadn't met before. And so, you know, the first thing I will do, and I probably would have done had I not had this call, but I will do it a little later, is to, you know, look at those business cards of the people that I met and follow up with them on LinkedIn and connect with them on LinkedIn. I mean, I think, you know, LinkedIn, you know, they've been doing some amazing things in the last, you know, year. In the last year, they've done a lot to make them, you know, more relevant. They're certainly, you know, they're not a Facebook, they're not a Twitter, but at the same time, they really are your professional network, you know, networking tool and social network for sure for your career and your business. So so I find LinkedIn very valuable that way. And so, you know, one thing I recommend is connecting with people on LinkedIn. Don't send them a generic message, but send them a personal message to say how you met rather mm-hmm. than just send the generic message. And I know some through the app, and there's some other ways that you kind of, by default, you have to send a generic message sometimes. But when you can, try to, you know, send a customized different message, a unique message to say, you know, who you are, where you met, you know, and why you want to connect on LinkedIn. I think that's really valuable. A big thing with LinkedIn, too, is to always back up and export your contacts. And it's the only social network that I know of that really lets you do that well. So it's important to be backing up all the time.
Yeah, and I do forget to do that. I'm so glad you said that again tonight because I forget to do it. But I do. Now, I went to a Houston Business Executives Luncheon today. It was the first networking meeting of that group that I've attended. And I'm trying to feel my way around and find a networking group here in Houston, business networking, that I'm comfortable with. And I really like this group today. But I found the first thing I did when I came home with my handful of business cards, because I still believe in business cards, was sit down and go on LinkedIn. And it's like, yes, 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 I'm finding her. And then, and, you know, that personal message, like, you know, so glad to meet you today, and connecting on LinkedIn. So I'm surprised by how many people will forget to go and use LinkedIn.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is your
it's
professional
amazing.
Network.
It amazes me. I mean, I've been on LinkedIn since, I think, 05 or 06, something like that. And, yeah, every once in a while I'll get a connection request accepted from somebody I sent a request to years ago. And I think other people might find this too. And it's funny because you're like, really? This is someone I worked with, you know, back in Toronto where I'm from at a company many years ago. And I don't get a note or anything. It just sends me the, because I already sent them a request years
right.
ago, but I suddenly get this notification, so-and-so has accepted your connection request. And I'm like, what? Really? Wow, they're not on LinkedIn, I guess. So.
I thought that only happened to me because then me and my smart mouth, the first thing I do, because it's usually somebody that I know quite well, and I'm just like, oh, wow, we're not connected there? You're finally excited? And I do. I'll say something like, seriously, you're finally getting around to my request 2 years ago? And then
yeah, exactly.
It takes another month or two to get the reply because, of course, it went in through LinkedIn, and they're not sure how to use that, or, oh, I never looked at my LinkedIn email. It's like, oh, my God. You need me. You need me. Let me help you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's surprising. So you mentioned this networking event that you went to that you finally liked more than others. What did you like about it, out of curiosity?
Well, it was women. No, that's
okay.
Fine. I love being questioned. That's funny. It was
I love
a women
too. So.
Yes. It was it's an executive group. And one of the taglines, I guess, that they said today, which I hadn't heard before, is sell like a woman, not like a man. And then as I listened to them, a lot of it's for sales and marketing. They say so many women are trained in business to live in a man's world and sell like a man, but that doesn't always work for women. And if you sit down, you think about it when you're marketing and you're selling, you're right. You know, you do have to sell and you do have to market a little differently, and you have to do it as a female, not as a male. But it was executives in the Houston area that I haven't met. I've been here in the Houston area for 9 years, but because of my other job, I lived in this bubble in franchising and within all the folks that I know, that I haven't really explored my own backyard. I don't know many Houston professionals. So now that I'm on my own in business, it's like I need to expand my network a little bit and get to know my neighbors in the industry and then in the profession of entrepreneurs. So that's why I've been going around to these different networking meetings and seeing where do I feel more comfortable with. But it's like, wow, I went in there today and said, I need friends. I need some local friends because you guys are great. I love all my online friends, but I never get to see you personally.
Yeah, it's true. Well, so. It's great, though, that you did that. I mean, you know, that's actually how I started my book. Like chapter one is all about doing your homework and finding – it's actually called Do Your Homework, and it's about finding local events and finding the people that you should be connecting with. So and I'm glad you found that group. That's awesome.
Yeah. So now I know of only one LinkedIn app for the mobile that helps you and I forgot to use it today. It's called Huron Biz. So when I travel, I like to check in with Huron Biz. Do you know of any other apps for LinkedIn or are there any apps that you use that are connected to LinkedIn?
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite LinkedIn apps is actually LinkedIn Contacts. It's relatively new, and I wrote a blog post about it. I have a blog called New Networking. It's new-networking.com, and I wrote a blog post on there about it. I guess I'm actually looking while we're speaking. I think it was about my computer slow. Probably about a month or actually a couple months ago at least. But it's relatively new, and it's a contacts app. And what's great about it is it tracks the connections you have with people. So, for example, this is a good scenario. Is if we meet at a networking event for the first time, and I add you to LinkedIn through the LinkedIn Contacts app, I can actually add a private note to myself about how we met, or you know about the conversation we had. Maybe you have kids, my kids' age, you know, not just work stuff necessarily, but just things for me to remember. Because, you know, especially now in this day and age where you meet so many people, that it's a good thing to do is kind of keep notes of, you know, the relationships that you have. So LinkedIn Contacts is a great app.
I totally forgot about it. And it's right here on my phone, too. It's like I downloaded it. I remember reading I'm sure I downloaded it because I saw your blog post. And I've totally forgotten about it. And I have six things that are listed to do. It's like, oh, dear. I have to go back and look at that.
It's called the blog post is called 5 Ways to Use the LinkedIn Contacts App. And I'm looking now, it's from April 28th. So it's a little while ago, but not too long ago. But it is really great. It's great that you can keep track of like recent conversations you've had with people and where you met them and things like that.
Yeah, I like that one. So you gave us your recommendations of how to request connections, and I hate the generic request, though I often feel like I'm an open networker. I will connect, but I'm curious, do you do this? I will connect, but then I always reply with a thanks so much for requesting the connection. How did you find me? Or what made you want to connect? I don't often get replies because I think a lot of people are just randomly surfing LinkedIn and saying, oh, I'll connect to her and I'll connect to her. And but I do enjoy it when somebody replies back and they tell me why they reached out.
Yeah, and you know, LinkedIn, it's different strokes for different folks, certainly. And you know, I try to connect. I try to have a pretty good-sized network, and I try to on LinkedIn, and I try to keep it with people that I have met before. That's not always the case. Sometimes, you know, I'll just accept someone. But I know what you mean. Like, sometimes you do ask the question, say, well, how do we know each other?
Right.
I do that with Facebook friend requests sometimes, too, because I get a lot of Facebook friend requests. And unfortunately, nowadays, I mean, there's a lot of spam bots, you know, and a lot of scams online. It's actually part of the reason I created a private networking LinkedIn group that, you know, if people go to my website, they can sign up there. And, you know, the way I have it set up is that if you fill out a form and it's really just your name and email address, so that way I can contact you. And then I import that that list into the group to send out invitations. And so, like, once a week, give or take, I'll send a new batch of invites out to the people that have signed up. So it helps kind of vet and kind of clear the spammers out. And so the group that I've created on LinkedIn has been awesome. And it's a very vibrant group. You're a member, aren't you? I think so.
I am. And you also built a group on Google Plus.
I did build a group on Google Plus a while back, and that was more for solopreneurs, kind of consultants. And I must admit, I completely slacked on that. And I even write about that in the book, you know, as an example of, you know, and I was a bad example of it. But, you know, you don't want to create too many groups everywhere, and you don't want to join too many groups everywhere because you do want to, especially if they're your own groups, you want to kind of tend to them and, you know, make sure they're growing and that people are happy and that they're not being inundated with spam. And I did create a Google Plus group early on, actually, for sort of consultants. I'll be the first to admit I sort of didn't really tend to it as much as I should.
Well, when you create the group, do you have, do you have a recommendation of how many groups individuals should be connected to on LinkedIn? Is there a magic number?
I don't think there really is a magic number. I know, and then the number's not off the top of my head, but I know there's a maximum number you can be a member of, and I believe it's either 50 or 100. Like, it's pretty high.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And really, I think it's a matter of how much, you know, how much time you can commit to the group. So, you know, I'm a member of some groups that, you know, I probably shouldn't be anymore because I don't really participate in them. But there are other groups that I'm more, you know, involved with, and certainly my own group is one of those groups that I do tend to a lot, obviously. But
so then, as a group creator, I know you hope that other people will be posting. Do you have, a strategy of how many times you should post or share information within your group, or how many questions you should ask? And what's your, how often do you connect there?
I connect there at least a couple times a week. I'll post, or at least once a week, I'll post a question or a poll or something like that. But that doesn't include participating in the other discussions that are taking place, liking comments and welcoming people. I'll send a welcome message from time to time for new users, new members. It is really a different strokes for different folks. It just depends on how much time you have to commit to it. You know, for me, I try to discourage sharing too many links too often. I find a lot of LinkedIn groups are just links. I mean, people posting links all the time, and it's like, well, why am I here? I can just, you know, fire up, well, not Google Reader, but Feedly or whatever. too soon, I know. but, you know, so for me, I try to encourage people to participate in the conversations and ask questions, and I think the group seems to be quite happy with how it's going so far, and there are links shared, but when they are shared, I really want people to give those links context and say, okay, you know, so-and-so in this article said this, what are your feelings about it, and include the link as sort of an afterthought if you want to learn more about the question at hand. There's an article I shared, for example, about a woman in New York who is basically like a hired networking wingman who will come with you to networking events and help introduce you to people. And she's for hire to do this. So almost like, almost like a professional escort without the prostitution side to her, or, you know, and so I shared that article and said, you know, kind of what, you know, this woman is charging so-and-so to, you know, be your wingman, you know, what are your thoughts about this kind of thing? And, you know, and I did it in an unbiased kind of way. I just opened up the discussion.
The discussion,
and
right.
See what people have to say. Yeah, so it was great. So I do encourage any listeners to join the group.
I'll have to go back in. Because I'm really bad about a LinkedIn Yeah, I don't participate enough. I should probably remove myself from groups. Not that I think I stalk LinkedIn more than the other social platforms. The other social platforms, I think I'm active. I know I'm active on Facebook and, of course, Twitter and Google+. But LinkedIn, I tend to be the stalker. I tend to sit back and read, and I don't think I participate enough. And
yeah, well, it's a good place for research, too. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. it's a good place to learn about companies and employees and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's certainly a great place to research. And I do talk about a lot about LinkedIn in the book.
You do. Yep. Yep. You got a big chapter on it. So why don't we move then to Facebook? Because that seems to be the hot platform today. Mm-hmm. People's choices, you know, what are the do's and the don'ts, and what kind of secrets can you share about how folks should be sharing or do friend requests using Facebook for business, building those relationships?
Well, I think it's important to consider, you know, I think a lot in social and social business is to understand that, you know, you are doing business and, you know, not, I don't mean to say promoting yourself, but certainly letting people know, letting your friends know what you do for a living, and, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe they can help connect you with the right people to drive business and things like that. It's not obviously all about businesses, you know, it's not at all. I mean, Facebook's really about the social network, right? It's about connecting with friends and family and things like that. So, you know, one thing I always tell people is, and I mentioned in the book, is while it Facebook can be a very valuable place for you to grow your professional network, it's also an important aspect to remember is, you know, that the more you can't overly promote your business on your personal profile. And the more you do that, first of all, it's going to annoy people. So there's mm-hmm. that. But it's also against Facebook's terms of service. So, you know, if you have a business, have a Facebook page.
Right.
And I talk about that in the book, too. But, you know, and there's great books also about Facebook specifically. But as far as, like, personal profiles, you know, you use your personal profiles to network with people. That's social networking. That's what you're doing. But, you know, don't overly promote your business necessarily. So that's an important thing to think about and to keep in mind when you're doing things on Facebook.
Well, I realized when I first left my job and I started my own business, and it was somebody I was connected to on Facebook because they were in the education industry, so we were connected mm-hmm. there. And then it was months after I left that they asked if I was attending an education event. It's like, no, I'm not part of Computer Explorers anymore. And they went, what? How did I not know that? And I realized that I hadn't shared enough, you know, it's not like I shared too much. I hadn't shared anything really on my whole personal page that of what I was doing in my business life. It's, you know, it was still about
right.
my kids and my grandkids. And I was like, uh-oh, I need
yeah.
to let people know that I had this other business page and that I would like them to like it and I would like them to know what I'm doing. So I had to rethink that a little bit. And it was difficult because I didn't, like you said, I didn't want to annoy them, but they didn't know.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be, you know, the last thing you want to be doing is spamming your followers and your friends on Facebook, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, what we do for a living, we spend the bulk of our, you know, hours awake working on our businesses. So, you know, it's a big part of our lives. And when we leave a business or, you know, start a new one or whatever, I mean, that is part of our lives. So sharing that on Facebook is absolutely okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So now Facebook has a few networking apps that I've tested out, and I know that I've left. Like one of them is, and you mentioned in the book, BranchOut.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that or any of the other ones that you've mentioned that you think that maybe we should go back and revisit.
Well, I think especially for people that are looking for expanding their careers, BranchOut, you know, is a good one. Be Known by, you know, Monster.com. If you're searching for work through Monster, Be Known is interesting because it ties into your Monster account. So when you're searching for work on Monster, it'll actually show you friends that are connected, your Facebook friends who are connected to whatever companies. And that really helps a lot for people who don't have an in otherwise to those companies. You know, because it's a good way for you to say, oh, you know, Joe Schmo, who's my friend, is connected to X, Y, or Z company. Well, I should reach out to Joe Schmo to help me, you know, maybe get introduced formally to somebody there, you know, while I'm applying to the job or even before
right.
applying to a job. So, you know, talent.me is another one that's interesting where you can, you know, endorse people. Sort of similar to LinkedIn in that way. They're all you know decent apps for networking on Facebook for sure. You know, if you are looking for work though, I do think LinkedIn is usually a better way to go.
Yeah, I agree. Just have to get back in there. I mean, LinkedIn. They're starting to give me the feel of Facebook. You know, sometimes I wake up in the morning, I think, okay, what did Facebook do last night while I was sleeping? You know, what changes
right,
were made? And LinkedIn is
that's
like,
what, they want.
What are you doing now? What did you do?
Right. That's what they want. I mean, you know, the LinkedIn app, like the iPad app, if you have an iPad or their tablet app, is awesome.
It's
great.
Good.
It really is. And the stories, you know, they're getting great original or semi-original content on there quite frequently. That's awesome stuff from the front page, which is good. The endorsement feature is an interesting one, and people have compared it to the like button in a sense, where you can easily simply endorse somebody. You know, it's you know, instead of writing someone an elaborate long recommendation, you can just you know click an endorsement button. And in a way, it's sort of been compared to the like button in the sense that it's sort of well, it's very easy for me to just click endorse you, and you know, but it looks good, and you know, it kind of acts like a like in a similar sort of way. You know, recommendations still is the best way to go, though, if you really want to, you know, help promote somebody that you've worked with or you know, someone you've had a good experience with.
Yeah, I think the LinkedIn endorsement button has just made it a little too easy for people to, one, to click it. And because I get endorsed and I'll look and it's like, oh, I don't even know who you are. I don't know when we connected. And how do you possibly know what my coaching or consulting, you know, skill is? But I still thank them. It's like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. Nice. I'll get endorsed for things I've never done, and I'll be like, what, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or not, maybe not never done, but certainly things that I you know, don't do very often.
Right.
Video editing. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah,
I've done
and then,
video editing. I like it, but...
Yeah, how do they know? And the ones I'm getting the emails for now is that people are adding skills. It's like, oh, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so has added this new skill for you. It's like... How and why? And I had one yesterday. I don't know. It was something like cooking or bizarre. It's like, what? that's not me. I mean, I do, but so very strange.
Right. Yeah.
So now one of the newest platforms, well, not that new, but Instagram.
I know
you love it.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I follow you. I know you love it. So anyone that has an Instagram account or wants to have an Instagram account, help us understand what are the best ways to use that for business. And how do you – can you network on Instagram?
You can in the same sense that you're meeting people who have like-minded interests. You know, you can search – Instagram has a powerful search function where you can search hashtags and brand names, products, and things like that. When I worked with Griffin, for example, and when I consult with clients, my clients, you know, a big part of social is listening, right, and is monitoring, you know, brand mentions and when people are talking about you online, your products online and things. So obviously setting up good searches for these products or services is important in your brand name and such. You know, Instagram is awesome because you can search your product name. And if you have a tangible product that, you know, is out there, you never know, you may find people using it. And, you know, certainly when I worked with Griffin, I mean, it was a great example of, you know, I was on Instagram all the time and I would search out our product names and our brand name. And then I would like and leave comments to people that were, you know, sharing photos of our latest products and things like that. So it's a great opportunity for you to connect with people and to grow a following, absolutely, to grow your network. There's a website I love called Statagram. which you can. Sorry?
I said, ooh, I don't know that one. I'll have to.
Yeah, it's ST. Let me double check here. I believe it's S. It's like static. Sorry, let me type it in here. Static RAM. I think it's. I just want to make sure I get it right. So it's static.am. And it's what it does is that you give it permission to access your LinkedIn account. And it's just beautiful because you can look at photos of your followers here or, you know, your friends, sorry, on Instagram, and you can actually like and comment right from the desktop. And it's really good if you're searching hashtags or searching your products, you can do that here too. And you can follow new people and interact and leave messages and all that stuff. So it's a good, it's a great tool. They also give you statistics and they give you a little, weekly or monthly or daily statistics. And it's neat to see because you can actually look at like to see your most liked photo or your most commented photo and kind of determine your most popular photos from there.
Oh, I like that. Okay, thank you. You just
I love
it.
Yeah,
for us.
I used it. I do not consider myself a photographer per se. I do not know how to, add certain lenses. I mean, I know how to add a lens, but I don't know all that stuff. But I do think I have a good eye for photography, and I enjoy shooting photos and playing with them with filters and things like that. Not just the Instagram filters, but with other apps. And with Photoshop as well. So what I do is I take a lot of photos in Nashville because that's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my most popular Nashville photos before, I guess it was last fall, and decided it would be kind of fun to kind of self-publish my own photography book of pictures of Nashville and just see, you know, and I sold, like, I published it on Blurb, which is a website you can create your own books and self-publish book. And so I made my own little Nashville, you know, mini coffee table book of photos that I've taken around town and sold, like, a bunch of them at, around Christmas. So, yeah, so it's a fun, Static Gram is great. It's a great service to use and kind of gauge how things are going on Instagram for you.
Yeah. Well, and I was, like I said earlier, you know, I follow you and I try to, so if you see some of my Instagrams, it's like, okay, I saw the one of you, like, that you said, I, and then you am on a, and then you did different pictures, a boat, when you were with your kids.
Right.
And it's like,
yeah.
Like, oh, so I took it and I like, I am walking charity miles. But that's what I like. And on at least what I have found in the social world is it's okay to mirror what somebody else is doing and put your own spin to it. Or that's the fun part. I just really enjoy watching what others are doing, you and CC Chapman and, you know, other guys are doing. It's just like, oh, okay, let me see. How can I do that? You know, will it work for me? Can I pull it off? Like, you can't pull it off as well as you do, but you're just so creative with those type of platforms that I wouldn't have tested or thought of.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you can absolutely borrow ideas and do that. I mean, you know, there's, I don't have any qualms with it. I mean, personally, I mean, I look at it as, you know, I mean, look at the iPod, for example. I mean, Steve Jobs did not invent the MP3 player. Apple did not invent the AP3,
right.
The MP3 player. They made it, you know, they made it awesome, you know, with iPod, but they weren't the first to invent things or anything like that. And so, you know, storytelling and photography and film and all that stuff have been out there forever. So, you know, all we're doing is coming up with creative new ways to interpret them and to produce interesting content.
Yep. And it's hard to keep up with it all, but it's also fun. As I say, I get up every day and see what's different with Facebook. I get up and I think, ooh, is there something new out there that I should test and try? And, you know, what is it? And one of the tweets I saw earlier today was Visify. I totally forgot I had a platform on that, you know, until somebody posted their Twitter video. It's like, oh, let me go to this. Oh, look, I already have I already have a video there. Let me update it and do something new. It's just, it just makes it so entertaining and,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny that way, too, because you don't realize, oh, wait, you know, like as you just said, I mean, you don't realize, oh, wait,
yeah.
I actually have an account here. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know about that. This is not new.
Yeah.
AK and I, we had a contest going on, oh, it was probably 2 years ago, because she does so many new platforms and shares so many different websites that we had her count how many social profiles she had out there. She had well over 100. And, it's just, I know I have a bunch out there too, but they're not hurting anything. It's just new platform comes up, I'll put a profile out there and maybe somebody will find
it. Yeah. Well, it's good to secure your name and leave a message.
Oh,
at least,
yeah.
You know, I have profiles like, I secured my name on other accounts, but I used to use different names. So I, you know, on the ones that I didn't have, I would, you know, leave a message saying, hey, find me here, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many Deb Evanses out there that now I just go by the name Deb CE. It's like it worked really well being Deb CE when I was with Computer Explorers, and now it's Deb CE Consulting Executive. It's just like I had Deb CE out there. I just couldn't give it up. So
yeah,
Foursquare, one of the networking that the Foursquare has been around quite a while. I know you've used it. Any tips, or do you think it's still relevant in the business world to use Foursquare?
I think it is. I think it depends on who you're trying to reach and who, you know. I mean, Foursquare now have a business, you know, they've gotten a lot better with working with businesses to you know, you can now verify your business similar to how you verify your business on Google Local or Google Pages too. For the longest time, if you weren't Amex, you weren't really doing much officially with Foursquare, but they've kind of opened that up now. And I'm not familiar with the most recent changes, but I do know that you can now have your own promotions on Foursquare. If you're a business, you're a verified business, you can set stuff up. I like Foursquare. I see a lot of value in it in a social way for sure. I mean, you look at it, for example, if you, you know, I can't remember if I included this in the book or not, but, you know, not that long ago I was out for dinner with a friend and he had to go home early and I had the night off. My wife was actually away with the kids and, you know, it was like 7:30 or 8 o'clock or something. I didn't want to go home quite yet. And there's a great strip of restaurants and bars in Nashville. Well, there's many actually in here, but the one that we were at. So I just checked on Foursquare. I thought, well, you know, I'll just look on Foursquare and see if I have any friends around. And I noticed a small group of friends were at a bar just down the road from where we had dinner. So I thought, oh, I'm going to go pop in and say hello. And I did. And I showed them all. And I said, I found you guys because I saw on Foursquare that you were here. And they're like, whoa, that's awesome. But I mean, of course, they checked in on Foursquare, which helped.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, somewhere like South by Southwest, for example,
it's,
you know, any sort of big tech conference, or marketing conference, it's very valuable because, you know, you can be walking down 6th Street in Austin and looking on Foursquare and saying, oh, there's so-and-so there that I've been dying to connect with, you know, and so-and-so is at that bar. I'm going to go in and say hello. And so it can be very valuable that way too.
Right. And and when I use it for personal, my husband just flips out. He says, oh, you're telling everybody where we are again. It's like, no. Normally what I do with Foursquare is I check in as I check out. Because if I am with my grandkids, I don't want people, you know, not that I think anybody's stalking me, but I don't want to take that chance. And no one needs to know that we were just at Chuck E. Cheese or wherever, or the Houston Zoo. It's like, okay, yep, I was there, you know, right in there. Yep, I was here all day.
And I
work for business,
clients,
it's cool.
Yeah, and I work with clients who, you know, I get them on Foursquare so that they don't have to participate necessarily, but they certainly have to acknowledge the people that are checking into their business. I mean, it's such a great opportunity that is missed by so many businesses. You know, your customers are actually telling you they're at their store, at your store. And you're ignoring this information that's out there that you can easily just like their check-in or leave a comment saying, hey, great, you know, did you buy anything? What did you think of that product? And you can, like, instantly create a great conversation. It's an awesome opportunity for that. But as you said, with checking out as you or checking in as you
check in as you check out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I know. A lot of women tend to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which makes complete sense to me. I mean, if you do have some sort of stocky business going on,
but it is. Yeah, and it's so cool, like with Huron Biz or Foursquare, to be able to go to a city if you travel a lot and then check to see, you know, as you said, when you go to South Bay, you know, who's around, you know, because you don't know their normal habits. And the Huron Biz for LinkedIn, twice now when I've traveled, I'll download or I'll connect on Huron Biz when I land at the airport, and I'll have someone say, because they saw it on LinkedIn, oh, geez, really? You're in Atlanta this week? Let's meet up, you know, wherever for coffee. It's like, oh, cool, yes, I get to see somebody. So,
yeah, it's amazing that way. I love it.
Yeah. So a couple other points that you had in your book that I think some folks have forgotten about and how to use is one of them is SlideShare. I think SlideShare has forgotten how to use it for your business and for networking and connecting.
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly, I mean, if you have a great deck, a great presentation, and you show it on SlideShare, if it's good and people know about it and you promote it right, and you know, people are going to leave comments on it and also share it elsewhere. And, again, it's like the Foursquare opportunity. I mean, people are embedding your presentation on their blogs, or they're leaving comments, and a lot of companies who use SlideShare will just simply upload their presentations there, and then, you know, like almost like a folder, like a storage place, and never return to it. And that's a great opportunity for you to chime in to the people that are leaving comments and the people that are actually sharing, liking, you know, tweeting, whatever, or embedding your presentation. So it's a good opportunity for you to connect with people. It's also a great place to search for content and find interesting people who have great presentations about, you know, content that you're interested in. And that's a good opportunity also for you to chime in and follow that person on SlideShare, but then also, you know, they usually leave their social connection or their social profile links there too. So you can follow them on Twitter, or Facebook or what have you. But you know, in addition to doing that, I mean, why not leave them a message and say, oh, I love the presentation, it's awesome, or retweet it and share it and say, so-and-so's presentation is incredible, you know. So it's a good opportunity. And SlideShare, SlideShare draws tons of traffic. And actually, they were acquired by LinkedIn some time ago. So, you know, there is a reason why LinkedIn bought them, so.
Right. Well, and one of the things I've done is when I'm looking for speakers, you know, we just did Frank Camp in Atlanta again, which Frank Camp, and when it was in Nashville is when we got to meet face-to-face for the first time.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I like to do if I'm researching speakers is I go to SlideShare, and I look to see if they have any content out there to give me a feel. Of course, you know, a good presentation is visuals, and it doesn't have a lot of the meat behind it. But at least lets me know this potential presenter has content out there that they're using. So I like to use it for a search tool and then learn a little bit more about them.
Yeah, it's good to do that. For speakers, I mean, a good tip, like I have on my website, if you go to davedelaney.ca, I'm Canadian, so I get to have one of those.
Yes.
it redirects to my speaking page on my site, and that actually has like a video clip and recommendations from people and things like that. So it's a good thing to do if you do speak, is to have a page kind of dedicated to that as well. But yeah, you're absolutely right about SlideShare.
Yeah, very good. So before, and I'm looking at the clock, it's just whipping right by. But before we're done, we talked a lot about online, but what you also do so well, and I haven't been able to attend personally, but I've read the reviews, is the events that you schedule with the PodCamp, you know, in Nashville and the Bar Camp. How do you tie the online with the in-person networking when you're scheduling and doing these events?
how do I tie in?
How do you promote it? How do you use the social online for the promoting or sharing, or maybe everything that we've just shared is ties into the in-person events.
Yeah, so I do 2 monthly networking events in Nashville. One of them is called Nash Cocktail. If anyone's in Nashville ever, I would encourage them to come. It's fun. It's just a very casual networking opportunity. The other one is called Geek Breakfast, and Geek Breakfast is something I started, which is geekbreakfast.org. I started that years ago when I first moved to Nashville, and that has now spun off into, there's Geek Breakfast chapters all across. There's ones in Australia, South Africa, Canada, the U.S., so it's all over the place now. It's pretty cool. But as far as, promoting these events, I always encourage attendees to RSVP. Geek Breakfast is a little trickier to make sure that people do it because they don't necessarily really have to. With Nash Cocktail, I have sponsors, and I give prizes away, but only to people who have RSVP'd on Facebook. I encourage people to sign up in RSVP. And the reason why I do that, one of the main reasons, I don't spam anyone. I don't, anything like that. The reason why I do it, part of it is the social factor. So if somebody, RSVPs, then it's going to be shared. And, hopefully other people will learn about it because someone has RSVP'd for something in their newsfeed. But in addition to that, if you attend one of my events, like Nash Cocktail, and you meet somebody and you didn't get their name or you lost their card or whatever, you can go back to the Facebook event and see who attended and put a face to the name or vice versa. To reconnect with people. So that's a big reason why I do that. I still am a huge believer in email marketing. It's extremely important. If not for any other reason than that, the fact that you own your list. And if you use email marketing, if you get people to subscribe to your email, you own their list. And that means you own their emails, which means that should Facebook make a mistake, because I know everything everyone is doing is ethical and good, on Facebook, but if Facebook make a mistake and shut down your page for some bizarre reason, or your profile, or if Facebook just goes down, you won't have any way to contact all the people that you've concentrated so hard on building this network. Suddenly you'll be disconnected from them. So I encourage people to sign up for the email newsletter and to share the newsletter. And so that's another way that I, keep people on the loop. Because for the longest time, these events, sometimes people would say, I forgot to RSVP on Facebook, I didn't get a notification, and blah, 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 blah. So I tell people, sign up for the newsletter, Geek Breakfast. I remind people usually about a week before the Geek Breakfast event. Nash Cocktail, I announce the new Nash Cocktail at the top of the month and who the new sponsor is. And then closer to the event, I also remind people like the day before. So using email and Twitter and all the social networks to help promote the events certainly helps get the word out.
Very good. I've read the book. I've got it sitting in my hot little hands. I should send it to you so you can sign it and send it back to me, but I'm afraid it would get lost in the mail. I don't want to lose it. So
we'll do it with each other.
Oh, yes. I that will be a must. Tell everybody how they can buy the book and follow you or sign up for your newsletter, which I get that. Give us some of your social platforms.
Sure. So the best way to learn about the book is to go to New Business Networking is the name of the book. So if you go to nbnbook.com, all the information about the book is there. So that's nbnbook.com. Reach out to me at Dave Delaney on Twitter. The NBNbook.com redirects to a page on the site that's dedicated to the book, but you can find my blog and my contact information and my email newsletter all there as well. And as I said, I'm at Dave Delaney on Twitter too.
Okay. And so the question I have to ask is, when are you writing the next book? I know your wife is not listening, so I didn't say that, Heather, if she is listening.
Yeah, exactly. I told her the other day, I'm like, I wonder what the next book will be, and she's like nodding her head like, no. I don't know yet. I don't know. I've got some ideas for a few different ideas, but right now I'm just focusing on getting the word out about my book selling copies and speaking. I'm really trying to speak at more events and more conferences and doing more, obviously more consulting and helping companies, understand social better. So all of those are the things that I'm focusing on now more than anything else.
Well, I can't imagine there's something that you haven't done. So, which I learned tonight. I didn't know that you've been on stage. You did comedy, you did that, and all your social. And I don't know what's left. You've done the book, a movie or a TV show, because you're podcasting, which we talked about when the first time you came on Social Geek Radio. I mean, you and your wife did, all those podcasts were just phenomenal. So maybe a day in the life with Dave. And the kids. You have to have your kids.
Yeah.
Because they're great.
Exactly. You never know. Well, yeah,
good reality show.
You never know. I mean, I have done, I've done film extra work. I dabbled in that when I was younger, too. And I am actually, I do have a moment. if you must, I don't normally tell people about this. But if you're dying to see me on the big screen, well, you won't see it on the big screen, but there's a movie called Studio 54 with Mike Myers, Neve Campbell, and Ryan Philippe. The next time you watch that movie, if you do again, because it's not that good a movie, it's okay. But when you watch that movie, the scene where Ryan Philippe first enters the nightclub, you will see a disco dancing Dave.
You're kidding me.
Cross right in front of Ryan Philippe. I warn you that I am wearing a blonde wig, like a 1970s crazy wig. But I'm hard to miss as well. So.
Oh, I have to watch that now. I had no idea. See, you've just told the world. Okay, I made a note. I'm going to get that and watch that this weekend.
I might try to film
it and see if I can tweet it somehow. It's like, look what I have. Oh, that's
funny.
Yeah,
I'll tell you a funny story with that. I actually, when I lived in Ireland for a few years, and when I first moved there, I actually worked at a video shop, among other things. And I had a bunch of odd jobs there. And when I was working at this video shop, a group, like three girls came in. It was just a tiny little store. And they had the TV like every video shop used to have. And I mean used to have, because video shops don't exist much anymore. But they returned Studio 54, and I thought, oh, this is funny. And I worked in this small town, this relatively small city. And so as they returned the movie, and they were looking for a different movie to rent. And as they were looking for a different movie, I queued up my scene, and I said, hey, did you guys like that movie? And they said, oh, it was okay, whatever. Yeah, we liked it. And I said, look at this scene and tell me what's weird about it. And I showed it to them, and they all screamed. Because there's me in the movie working at the video shop in Galway, Ireland. It was pretty hilarious. So,
that's funny. Social Geek Radio now has something new. You tell your quiet little secrets to us. And, of course, I just tweeted it, so all the world knows.
Only
okay.
for you, Deb.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much for joining us, or joining me again. And I will see you online here later. So thank you, and have a great night. And everybody, buy the book. And I'm going to write my review, which I have not done for you yet, on Amazon. So I promise to have that out.
Oh, yeah, please.
Because
anybody who reads
it,
please leave a great review on Amazon.
Yes,
leave a review. That certainly helps a lot.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that. So I will get that done for you, I promise.
Oh, thanks, Deb. I appreciate it.
Have a great night, and thank you to everybody who is listening in tonight.
Thank you. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.